All right, everybody, welcome to Loopholes on Life podcast. My man Stitch, I'm Stan. Beautiful week, beautiful time to be alive. Loopholes on Life, learn from the past, live for the moment, love for an eternity. Loopholesonlife.com, please come visit, check it out. And it is Stitch and Stan, the Stitchster, and Stan the man, two homeboys from back in the day, getting together to talk about everything that that life throws our way. And it's great to be with you, Stitch. How you doing, buddy?
You know, man, I'm trying to figure it out.
You living the dream or not quite yet?
My dreams are a little more remarkable, as we as we've touched on before, but we have more to get into.
Absolutely.
But my life is it's interesting, you know.
Life is good, isn't it, man? I mean, you know what? First of all, sidebar.
It seems like you had a great week, man.
I had a great week.
Life is all right.
I actually had the conversation with somebody recently where I said, you know, I'm sure like heaven's amazing and like there's this cool whatever.
That was with me.
Was that with you?
That was on a podcast.
But I was like, but life is so good. I mean, how could it be much better than this? I mean, I got a glass of wine in my hand. I'm talking to my buddy Stitch. We're just, you know, I got a dream job. It's just like life's good. How is there something better up there? I don't know. I guess we'll figure that out.
Well, we will. If we can do the exact same thing, if I can have a glass of wine with my best friend, but I can fly.
There better be
like
flying.
It's exponentially better already.
Yeah, that's
my glass of wine all of a sudden tastes better. Our conversation.
Just fly, how about flying around while we have a glass of wine? That's pretty
well.
Cool.
That's what I'm saying. Of course. So, and you can't spill in heaven.
Oh, of course not. And if you do, you can like race down to like get the drop.
Quick sidebar though.
This popped in my head totally random. Do you remember that brand of clothing line that was called Life is Good with the stick figure guy? Do you know what I'm talking about at all? There was this brand of clothing.
LG?
No.
Are you talking?
No, these t-shirts. Like the same reason you seem like t-shirts now, like Keep Calm and blah, 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 like those stupid t-shirts. It was Life is Good was the brand. And it was always some like stick figure guy with it. It was just the worst brand. People would wear these things around. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I know like, you know, in Ohio, sometimes people don't have like maybe the most exotic fashion sense. But when you were wearing this shirt, you were just, you didn't give a, just like get up, put on a shirt, walk out, you know, it was.
No, yeah, I mean,
it was pretty fun.
I can say everything you described actually sounded pretty positive in a very negative light, though. LG, I don't know what. Do you know what LG? I mean, you know LG, right?
Is like the
LG.
They're like an appliance manufacturer.
Right, right. But they have a dude, and like you know their symbol, right? Look at it. You gotta Google it right now.
Okay.
If you have Google handy enough, I mean, and I know you do. I see you at your computer, friend.
Actually, I'm gonna use my phone, I think.
Yeah, use your phone. Type LG symbol, and what you'll see is an L and a G creatively mixed in to basically a dude winking.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know
I'm familiar with
stands
that.
For.
That is not the T-shirt guy I'm talking about, but I could see how you would think I'm getting at that. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I jumped there. What does LG stand for? Do you know?
I do not. That's probably another great question. I've never ever even thought of it. Who knows?
LG Electronics.
Take a guess.
Oh, life's good. Life's good.
No.
Their tagline is life's good.
Seriously?
Yes. Boom. Now, I had two other three-pointers that the audience isn't aware of. Their tagline is life's good, bro.
Really?
Like, now, did they, it sounds like both companies, Lucky and Gold Star, merged and formed.
I'm taking this
Lucky
to the next
Gold
level.
Star.
Yeah, but that's so weird. That's so weird because they definitely weren't behind those t-shirts.
Well, yeah, it sounds like bad branding in that case. Or are but you sure
how did
they
that? How did whoever made those just not get like an just a insane cease and desist? Like,
I mean, it's kind of like saying good morning.
Because I just pulled up Life is Good.
Hey, can the brand, you've heard of the company GM?
Yeah.
Can they create a patent or some sort of brand infringement lawsuit out of good morning?
That's true, you know.
You know, if they start, you can't just copyright good morning.
Well, nobody's running out to get these t-shirts because of, like, the apply. Oh, man, I love my washing machine by LG. Let me get one of those Life
Maybe.
Is Good t-shirts.
Want to know what? I would. I would argue we should. I actually, my biggest frustrations come from my appliances.
Oh,
so,
man.
If they were all of a sudden great for me, I would rock their brand with a smile. I would actually write on my same t-shirt branded by them that life's good.
You know what the greatest line is in one of my favorite holiday movies, which is Christmas Vacation, the one with Chevy Chase?
I watched that with my son
yeah.
last Saturday.
Oh, really? Oh, my
and
God.
And off time, it was on TV. I was like, I think you're old enough, and it's on
what
TV,
station
so I'm hoping.
Put that on in June? The producer
the
just
greatest.
Die.
It's like that station right beyond ESPN HD.
Oh, just like Lost
the,
Soul
You know,
channel.
The station that, like, you never watch, but every once in a while.
But what a bold
once,
move.
Once
put a Christmas
a while.
Movie
right.
on in the middle
oh,
of June.
Well, want to know what they did? They had an all-day Christmas. That would be lame.
Yeah.
I mean, I get Christmas in July. At
yeah,
least
at least
in
July,
July
makes some sense.
But no, they just did a straight-up vacation day
oh, okay.
where they played, like, pretty much all three, you know, like, from Wally World. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
European Vacation and Christmas Vacation. They played all three of those. I mean, dude, that's a solid, like, what, 8 hours on TV?
Yeah,
and
the European one. But so, okay, yeah. but let me get back to this line. You'll know this, obviously.
Yeah,
especially
I'll
if
love
you just
it.
Watch
I can't
it.
Wait.
But the grandpa, he puts all the lights on the house, you know, and he's coming out.
But not the grandpa, though.
No, no, no. Clark puts all the lights
oh,
on the
okay,
house.
Clark.
He brings yeah. the whole family out for the unveiling. He's going to connect the lights, and it's like the, oh, you know, the lights, the house.
Absolutely.
Light. It doesn't work. And everybody's oh, yeah. whatever, starting to make their remarks. And the
yeah.
his daughter, so the grandpa says something. I forget what he says. And then the daughter says, he worked really hard, grandpa. And the grandpa goes, so do washing machines.
I do not know that line off the top and I didn't watch the whole movie. I love that movie. I can't wait
it's
to
a
acknowledge
great
that part.
Line. It's a great line. It's just such a burn, man. Just such a burn.
They do work hard.
And they
man.
Do, man.
And why
they
know
work
what?
Their ass off those washing machines.
They've done more for my life than that guy has. you know, I can replace that guy in a movie.
They've done,
my
washing a washing machine has done more in your life than probably a number of your friends have.
Right. Well, you know what,
you just, maybe you should go have a glass of wine with him. He's
yeah. I mean, but I you know what? Their voice just doesn't translate to a podcast as well.
Yeah.
They sound a little muffled.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they
little
just,
little
that kind of low bass.
Not a very interesting friend, that washing machine guy. But
no,
man,
it's dynamic.
He does
throw
work
a
hard.
Shoe in there.
He's got some stories to tell. That's for sure.
Oh, he'll mix it up. He has some smells. The
oh,
olfactory
yeah.
sensories.
And yeah, not like that. Not like the washer. That's a kinky little slut there. That washer.
Well, I don't know. At least that washer gets washed. Sure. That drying machine gets the fresh.
Yeah.
If you and God forbid you leave some clothes a little too long in
oh,
that washing
man.
Machine, have you ever gotten
it's
that?
The worst.
Dude, that happened to me in college. I learned the hard way.
I still do that. I'm 36 and I still leave things in the washer. I like for like a day.
Well,
and a half.
You're in the middle city. You don't have your own machine.
Well,
you?
Not
you?
Now I don't even have a washer and dryer. I literally take things over to.
You
a,
just live on the streets.
No, I take it. It's the best thing ever.
Come as it may.
This is the greatest yeah. thing ever. I take them to a dry cleaner. It's called like Fluff and Fold.
Oh.
And they literally that do is. My laundry. They neatly fold it
Did
all.
Did they do a little more than laundry?
They. I don't know. Hey, that's their loss if they're sniffing my panties.
What kind of happy ending did they have? Have fluff and full.
But I take them to this place.
They and what does fold?
They
mean?
Wash. How does they that wash tail them? Unfold? Then they fold them beautifully. Yeah. Then they put them in a little ball, and it's like this little package, like
a
this
ball?
Little
ball.
It's like a
Wait,
little
what
bundle.
What do they put in a ball?
They bundle it all up into like a, not a ball, but like it's like a little, you know, square, maybe semi-square. Like a little bundle. It's like a little...
They got it tight. They
it looks like a sandbag
system.
Of all your clothes, and you take it home.
Really?
And it's all washed.
I don't know if I want to say... Like,
it's
wait,
fantastic.
Tell me about your sports jacket. How is your sports
jacket?
Oh,
that I dry clean. So like half of my stuff gets dry cleaned. My suits, my dress shirts, my pants.
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah.
is like
okay.
my underwear, my towels, my t-shirts, you know,
okay,
stuff
wait,
like that.
Okay, wait, what are they called?
What do you mean?
Not a dry cleaner.
Oh, it is the place is I call generically a dry cleaner, but
oh, okay. So you called them the same thing. So that's why I was confused. In Ohio,
you're getting it's hung up on semantics here, Stitch.
No, it's not even hung up. It's actually really important because, like, any time the average American invests in a dry cleaner,
yeah.
I do not want to see my sports jacket rolled up in a ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
or folded
yes,
into a square. Whatever kind of cool branding that it sounded like they were doing, I would have been really upset. I want them to deliver it as flat as
No. Yeah, you're right. I could see how that would be confusing. But I love not doing laundry. Probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. If you move to New York City...
Yeah.
I highly recommend, or even it, you live, I mean, you know, Stitch, you're in the Midwest still. Go to your local dry cleaner. That's super cheap. Like, you can drop off like 10 pounds of laundry and they'll do it for like $10. And it is the life.
The good life, as they say. So, my friends, if you don't want to do dirty laundry and you move out to New York, you follow Stan's lead and find those fine establishments. Or if you move out to the Midwest, you find yourself a wifey.
Well, anyways, great catching up
no
with
laugh?
You. What? Bada-ba? What is bada-ba?
I'm saying bada-ba. Bada-ba, my dry cleaner is my wife, bro.
Oh, you dirty dog. I didn't even pick up on that. I was going to let that one slide.
It was actually kind of funny, but like, I'll find a way to edit it, or maybe I won't.
All right,
just
leave
like
it alone.
My fallen flat. Yeah.
Stan missed
my
it.
My fallen flat.
Bum, yeah, bum, bum.
Yeah. Like, just trying to move
yeah,
right
you might,
on
you
past,
might want
to like,
edit that one out before your lovely bride hears that one.
Oh no, she would laugh at me. I love her so much. I clean her dirty clothes. Like I'll air my dirty laundry as she cleans my dirty clothes.
Oh, that's just pure love right there, my friend.
Yeah.
I hate it.
And disgust all of
my Oh, it right? is. Laundry laundry is just like the one thing you do for each other. It's just like you still just it's just still raw human form that you're both just too basically you know, evolved monkeys, kind of like, it's like, here's your poop stained underwear and here's my, you know, smelly socks and here's your, you know, here's the spaghetti I spilled on my t-shirt, even though I'm, I try to tell you I'm refined. Like
it's
embarrassing. It's also just raw. It's like
humiliating.
Yeah. It's humiliating.
Yeah, it's just like a confession. It's really worse. It's actually worse. Like you could go into confession to a priest or like confess your darkest sins to your parents or a friend. And nothing is more revealing than your laundry.
It might honestly, Stitch, be like statistically at blame for a percentage of
divorce
cheating
rate?
Of infidelity.
Infidelity?
Well, the fact, let's just say you take this woman and let's just say she stays home and she's got two kids or something, I don't know, and she does all the laundry and she does, maybe the rawness of seeing like just the simplicity of a man that is she doesn't get enough time and attention for and like disgusting dirty underwear, disgusting dirty sock, like little by little it's eroding her perception of that human being as like
wow
the incredible powerful maybe sexy man that he is And you know, what I mean? Like, this could, we might be onto something here. Maybe we should all stop doing each other's laundry. Take it to the cleaner.
Maybe we should all stop doing laundry, period. Let's just go because want to know what my counter argument, Stan? Because don't involve me in your philosophy here.
All right.
I would argue, I like to approach my days like, hey, my beautiful bride, she's encountering my rawest animal.
Oh my God.
My pheromones. My pheromones, you know, are there. And rinse me of them. So the world isn't exposed.
You're
and
not.
I'm not saying it's all pleasant. It's clearly not all pleasant. But, like, want to know what? Life isn't all pleasant.
You know what, Stitch? You're not wrong either. I'm sure there are. I don't want to know if it's equal, because the way you define that is slightly disturbing, but I would say there are plenty of women and men who definitely get off on that whole thing, you know.
And I'm not saying, like, I think you're familiar with the concept of pheromones, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was a time. Yeah, you know what? It's for a later podcast. We're not there yet with our audience. I'm gonna throw out the ultimate teaser, but it's a hilarious one. It is, and Stan, I almost should hang out with you for 5 minutes after this if you remember it, because you will laugh your ass off as you go to bed. My pheromone story. But yeah, no, it's totally real. And I mean... What else is real?
Well, yeah, man. I mean, that's what I was thinking tonight. We love to toss a topic out every week for, you know, us to chat about, and hopefully our listeners enjoy. And honestly, we kind of touched on, I was joking about, you know, the Life is Good shirt, and honestly, I shouldn't care what it's a t-shirt. Like, I'm sitting here, even now, the topic I want to bring up, I'm participating in, which is materialism. And I thought, you know, I just had a moment this week where I thought about it, and I noticed some materialism happening, not necessarily even myself, just in this world. And I'm a little bit of both, and I kind of want to explore what I am, just open and honestly with you tonight, and what maybe you are and what our thoughts are. But I think it's a subject that is really needs to be addressed by a lot of us. I mean, we're slipping in so many ways into this need for materialistic things. And don't get me wrong, I don't think anybody should, like, have to, you know, be a monk and whittle their way down to wearing a robe every day and you know, living in a cardboard box and act like that's something that they, you know, think is cool and what they, you know, is the right thing to do. I don't
Well,
think
why that. Are they in a cardboard box as the other monks?
Well, you know,
shelterless.
I mean, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is there's like a level of like balance, I think, to materialism that maybe you and I, Stitch, can uncover tonight a little bit. I don't know. I mean, why do we need this stuff? So let's talk, man. Tell me your thoughts. Are you materialistic?
Okay.
I don't think you are.
Well,
I mean, I know you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's all relative though, right? And that's why I was saying, like, so that monk in that cardboard box, there's a few other monks down the hills. The Himalayan hills that are looking up or looking down, and they're in no box at all. And they're like, psh, they're relinquishing. It's almost reverse materialism. And, you know, there was a wise, this ancient philosopher that said something about the world and materialism.
What was the gist of what he said?
He said something like, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Madonna.
Oh, my
1984,
God.
I
didn't see
I
that coming
right?
a mile
good.
Away.
I got you.
I mean,
good.
You got me good there, man. You got me
good.
Good.
But, right? But want to know what? There's a whole nother topic to be explored in the seeds that are planted in our you know, mainstream culture.
Yeah.
Because the people that are powerful, the most materialistic amongst us, need us to invest in materialism in order for their ego to be validated right. through materialism.
Well,
is what's interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And like one thing, like you know what it was actually. I just had my realization of what the moment was. It was a work related thing. It was this event, and you know whatever. I'm not going to talk specifics, but it was just a very very expensive, very small product. That cost like they make these products. That,
what kind of product?
Let's call it jewelry. Okay, so jewelry, and it's like $300,000. You know, to get
for like one trinket.
Yeah,
or like
for like one piece of this jewelry. Okay, $300,000,
and it's not a wedding.
Oh
ring
no,
either.
No, no. Yeah.
What?
So it's like,
what are they trying to sell?
Watches.
Whoa!
Yeah, for like $300,000 for a watch.
I try to let go of time. As
I mean,
you know,
so and like
not invest in it.
Well, the interesting part about it was at first I was a little like up in arms about it mentally. I'm like, God, that's so wrong. Like, what you could do with $300,000? Like, you could feed like you could like change so many people's lives. You could
society,
like send multiple kids to college. You could like literally probably feed like an entire tribe in Africa for years. Like. Just
yes,
the amount of things you could do.
And build them homes.
And so I got a little like, kind of pissed off about it just in my mind. And at the same time, I understand these are the types of people that, you know, are great to me and feed my family because of what I do. But then I had an epiphany, Stitch. And this is interesting. Then I was like, you know what, though? Maybe I'm being a little judgmental here because I don't know. These individuals who buy this $300,000 watch, they might make $45, $50 million a year. They might give $8 million a year, $10 million to charity. And they still have so much darn money left over that they can spend money on a $300,000 watch. And they're being great.
Right.
They're being awesome human beings. They're giving like, you know, a large money to charity. But you know what I mean? So, like, where's the balance? Like, at that point, it's not really wrong. Like, that would be selfish of me. This guy's given $10 million to charity, and he wants to get a $300,000 watch. Like, he honestly should be able to because he's doing the right thing on the other side. Now, if there's...
Well, Stan...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stan, I think we all do. Let me ask you this, though. What is more generous? The $10 billion man net worth. The $10 billion man donating $100 million.
Okay.
Or the $40,000 man donating 10%. Donating $4,000.
Okay.
I might have gone 10% in both cases. I was going to say the $40,000 income household donating $10,000, that's 25% of their income. And want to know what? You need X amount to sustain calories and provide for X amount, 2.5 kids or whatever. Yeah, probably current America is 1.7, probably, I bet. It's probably declining. But like whatever the case is, the concept is relativity here. Because want to know what? If you can fart out like a freaking town in South Africa and it's just a blip on your radar, what are you sacrificing for humanity?
Right. I think you bring up a good question about I don't know that I can answer the relativity question. I think if you did a poll of 100 people, the majority of them would say that the $40,000 a year guy giving up his money would be the more, you know, whatever profound and impactful and meaningful donation versus the billion-dollar guy. But that's my opinion is that no, it's if it's the same if it's the same numbers, if he's given 10%, he's given 10%, then they should be held to the same
10%.
Well,
I know
you changed the number, but I'm talking about if all things were equal in this process.
Percentage-wise. Well, then it is relative, though. That's where I needed to correct myself. I'm saying you're a $10 billion net worth person.
Yeah.
And you give you know, $100 million.
Right.
That's not 10%, right? $100 million is a ton of money and can change the world. But it's a blip on their radar. So there's a different kind of impact.
we say that, but maybe not. I mean, dude, what if you worked your tail off and you built a $10 billion net worth? And honestly, those guys, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I know we don't want to all hear this from rich people, but that could all change in a day. I mean, that he might, all that money, he or she, that could, money could be tied up in markets. That could like get wiped out in an instant if like the world went into like some kind of apocalyptic, you know, whatever.
No doubt.
So I don't know that that's fair to say it's a blip on his radar. That's a lot of money. I don't care who you are.
Oh, I would
$100 million. I mean,
I truly believe that if think of it like this, Stan. You know that beach vacation we've all had?
Yeah.
Have you had a good beach vacation?
I mean, I need another good one right now. Yeah, sure.
We actually should figure one out together.
My God, man. I need one so bad.
Good old Hilton Head, right? Like, we got to get on back.
Yeah, we got to get somewhere, that's for sure.
Just somewhere fast.
Get the toes in the sand, cold beer.
Pacific Ocean.
Will you lather up my back, though? Because I'm a little pasty.
No, I mean, what you need to do is get like some dark tattoo that just refracts sunlight.
That's such a good idea. Like, you know what?
It's actually,
I need to do one of two
things.
It
would look gross, but you actually, like, to avoid melanoma, you are the whitest of boys.
It actually is not the worst idea to just get a big ass.
No,
have you seen Ben
Affleck's
huge, terrible back tattoo? Like, I need that and all black. But hey,
I saw him as Batman.
Hold on,
we
need to get back to what we're talking about. I'm so sorry, but we got off track. But that, or maybe we're on to an invention here, Stitch. Nobody likes to ask another human being to rub in the sunscreen on their back. It's, if you're a guy, it's super uncomfortable. Here, rub my hairy back and, you know, my white hairy back.
Why do
I actually started having
you
my...
You have a hairy back
My back's not hairy. I'm just talking about generalities of guys.
Yeah.
I actually have my son do it now. I'm like, because my five-year-old, he doesn't care. He's like, I love you, Dad. So I go, here's the can. I go, spray it everywhere. And then I go, rub it in.
It's a spray
like a game.
Can.
But what about an invention?
How do you make it a game? What is winning?
How does he win? You know, whatever. We have fun with it. But does he win? No,
there's only
one. But I
like, he's only going to recognize it later in life when he has like subtle problems.
Yeah, when he's like scarred.
I hear you.
When some guy asks him put sunscreen
just,
on his back.
He smells man hair on his fingers.
He just starts crying.
Every time the aerosol and like sunscreen is in the air. No, but go ahead. Stay.
But no, I think there's room for an invention there. You know, some kind of little... Like something you obviously could put in a pool bag, so maybe it like folds up like click, 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 click into like a small thing, but then you unwind it like a Swiffer, you know, and then you put a little pad on it, and then you can like rub all of your sunscreen on your back. Actually, I think it's fairly genius.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what, man? There's so many levels of this. Like, it's kind of like somewhere in between just wearing a shirt and like a swim shirt, you know, right?
Somewhere in between just not being an idiot.
Throwing some wet sand and mud on yourself. Like, what worked? It honestly does.
Hey, you know though? Funny, bring us back to the moment. That might be kind of materialistic of me right there. I'm talking about an invention that I'm going to spend $15 on to put sunscreen on my back versus just being a simple man and being smart and asking another human being to, you know, whatever, rub my back.
The 10 billionaire. You know? Like, because you need a little bit of a tan. And I mean, you want to know what? That transitions well to the next artifact that we need to consider. Think about materialism, what is materialism, Stan? I mean, let's think about it, right?
What is it? I'll give you my definition, then I guess, you know, tell me what you think. But I would define it as the constant or pervasive need and desire to want more material things or continually improve your status and possession of material things. That's kind of how I would.
I mean, right?
You know.
I mean, like, I mean, let's all have our own little spins on it.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I mean, even I think Madonna would agree with us.
Yeah.
And she's the material girl in this material world. And you know what's interesting? What Stan and I do is, or what we're trying to do, so we come off a just ever so little bit more slightly polished than we do naturally, because this is super naturally and off the cuff. What we try to do is just give ourselves a theme a couple days in advance. And then what I did for the first time ever was, while waiting for my tardy Stan to arrive for the podcast, I Google searched just the definition. Okay. The definition of materialism.
Okay.
And it was really much more profound than I thought.
Wow.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
But you hit all of what it is.
Okay.
But not on what it subjugates.
Okay.
Not on what it, like, lets go of in order to fulfill it. So
not on its dirty, dark side.
Right.
All right,
so
let's hear it.
It is, if you type it in, materialism, into Google, you will find the first search result saying it's the tendency to consider materialism or materialistic possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values.
Okay.
Isn't that compelling?
That is compelling.
It makes sense when we all hear it, because then you have to ask yourself, and it can be objective or subjective, depending how you approach it, but you have to ask yourself, okay, what are spiritual values? But no, let's simplify this in a moment and just say, oh, it's the moment of time. We're thinking about right here and now, the physical present. We're matter. That's what matters. Matter matters.
Uh-huh.
It's the providence of pun. And speaking of the providence of pun, think of possession.
Right.
Right? And think of possession in its scariest form.
Yeah.
What is possession in the scariest form in that movie that neither of us want to ever see again?
I don't know which one you're talking about, but there's a lot of scary ones.
Oh, the number one. You saw
what,
Linda Blair? Yeah.
Oh,
you saw that, right?
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, how can you unsee it once you see it?
And yeah, like, you're right. I mean, that is possession as well. It's all part of it, right?
And want to know what's great, though? When you connect the providence of pun.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, like, someday we need to have, like, you doing and the beautiful voice that you do, or you and I harmonizing together. Just stitches, providence of pun. but, like, you consider possession, too, as another providence of pun. And so we got matter matters, possession.
Yeah.
And then present as the present. I mean, I think Kanye West used it. Probably a billion writers ever used it. It's such an obvious one, but present as the present. Immediate gratification, satisfaction. And then there's a new word.
What is present as the present? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's immediate satisfaction.
Oh, okay.
That's the gift. Like, I mean, and you can use it in a good way, right?
Well,
that's all
I
you
think
have.
That one thing I'd like to expand upon that you hit on that I'm interested in talking more about is the part of the giving up of the spiritual to give into the material.
Yeah.
I've personally experienced that a little bit recently. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know my situation. You know, I moved into a different apartment. I had a very nice apartment, insane amenities, gorgeous. Honestly, one of the, you know, not tooting my own horn, but one of the better Manhattan apartments I've ever been in. And I lived in this place, and it was amazing. And, you know, I moved out for personal reasons, and I moved into a very much more homely apartment. You know, I had to walk up 3 floors. We talked about the laundry already. You guys know what I'm doing there. I don't have a washer dryer.
Well,
I don't have a dishwasher.
That doesn't sound like you're lacking, though.
No, I mean, all I'm saying is
yeah.
Like, it was a, I mean, not only financially, but just in terms of amenities, it was a huge step down in terms of what I was used to and what I had felt. But I never once sat around and kicked my feet and felt like that was something I was upset about or said, man, I missed. Like, it sucks. Like, I don't have that apart. Only reason why I never sat around and did that is because spiritually, and I don't mean like with God. I just mean like the happiness level I had emotionally. Right. I was in such a better place that this place it was like a little gold mine for me. It was like, it was like bright, sunny, beautiful. And it was like, you know what I mean? It just so
freedom
like,
can feel free even if it's more constrained.
Yeah, and it's like with lesser materials, and I became happier, and that was this is the first time in my life that I've actually like you know gone this route and felt this way. I'm not saying I'm some minimalist or something, but
no, you know, you're not. You're still not.
It made me aware of the possibility of
good for you
of it, and it's made me maybe just a little bit more aware of the surroundings of people being materialistic. It's such a turnoff to me now. I'm just like, God, do you need like a you know a $200,000
radar's
car?
On
like, yeah, why do you need a $15,000 handbag? Like, it's just stupid. I'm sorry, it's stupid.
Stan, this happened to me the other day where. You know, I won't name names as always. Like, we're friendly podcast friends.
Yeah.
Right? Can't call you friends without being friendly. But I will say there is somebody also that that you know that boy, how to be politely coy while being just fully honest. It's a difficult wave to surf.
Well, let's speak in generalities here.
But yeah, but I'm going to say that I encountered somebody that I helped out a lot along the way.
Okay.
And in many ways, I'm still helping out.
Okay.
With a strong, like, dark period in between. Dark as in, like, just like... zero dark 30 or whatever you call it, like just off, like just not talking.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden I'm back and they're presenting me their materialism this past weekend.
Okay.
And, I was really just smiling and just being like, I'm really happy for you.
But it didn't feel right? Like, it was almost like a bragging thing, or what?
Oh, it was already, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's who this individual was. Okay. That's where they put their happiness
right now. Yeah, there's a lot of people like that, man. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
They want to talk about the car, the golf. Oh, yeah. You've been here.
And they had, like, he had, like, four cars, and I am still pretty confident that I'm more fiscally sound in the long term because of my decisions and my long-term investments and stuff. But it doesn't even matter. What matters is, like, it doesn't matter to me.
So what did this do to you? Like, as this person was, you obviously were very clearly in the moment recognizing their materialism as they were expressing in front of you. Was it like a huge turn off to you, or you're like, this is so dumb that I'm like sitting here letting this person parade? Or were you happy for them? Or like, how did you
nailed it? Right, bro. Yeah, dude. Like, all I am is like a few years more into what you just experienced.
Okay.
So eventually, imagine yourself experiencing this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are hiring people all the time. We're interviewing people, figuring out that's part of our parameters. It will be part of your parameters now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see if they're using you as a springboard now. You're going to like start... having a few more interview questions that just at least touch on this concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want to know if they're using me to get where they want to go or if I'm investing in someone that's going to invest in me.
Okay.
I want to know that like when I turn them into a rock star 2 years from now, that they'll at least... give me 2 years out of themselves. And then,
what is that? I don't know what that has to do with materials, though.
Well, it's the materialism aspect. If you're chasing the diamond, if you're chasing the gold, then you're only always looking for the next step.
I don't know about that. I feel like there's probably a fair amount of people that just want to be really successful and make a ton of money, but aren't necessarily interested in spending it on Range Rovers and multiple homes.
No, I'm saying utilizing your career path as the next step, as the springboard to keep on moving on.
Okay.
To keep on moving forward. They're going to keep on chasing that unicorn, I call it.
Okay,
I call it a unicorn. So, like, they're going to keep on following that unicorn wherever it goes. And they'll cut off ties. And long-term, that will actually stifle their growth, but maybe they'll find their way. And the select percentage of a percentage of a percentage. I mean, like, Stan, you and I do all right by ourselves, right?
Yeah,
like,
we do all right.
It's not about providing. And want to know what? We can both give more. We can both
find a way.
Everyone can.
But
what I am saying, if your goal, if your root happiness is invested in your materialistic growth.
The root happiness. If your root happiness is invested in there. If you're a listener and you feel that that is you, you know, we're not here. We're not doctors. We're not psychiatrists. We are nothing but
you
two.
Always say
we
this
are not two friends. We are nothing but
we
two
are.
Friends speaking.
I am.
But I would
Sue
say
me.
This: if you are a
come
person
at me, bro.
And your root happiness is based in materials, you need to. I think you need to assess that. I think you need to start making some changes and try to grow. We are Loopholes on Life. This is what we do. We talk about ways in which we can get better, things we can do, how to be a better person is what this podcast is all about. And I've been there. I have been in a place where it wasn't about me getting possession. I've never been a possession guy. I've never been a huge materialistic guy. I've never had a sports car. I've never had a mansion. I've never been.
But
I did have a situation where getting my partner, my wife, very materialistic things made me happy because it was like I was making her happy.
Oh,
you know?
Stan. Want to know what? So, like, for the, like, we've touched on, like, kind of mentalism, like, just logic, right? We've touched on spiritualism, that kind of approach. Let's talk physiology for a second. Do you know the brain chemicals that are defined scientifically as to driving our happiness?
No, I do not.
Well, you know the word dopamine.
Yes.
So dopamine specifically is really about like the reward center of our brain.
Okay.
It's about like feeling accomplished. Like, ooh, I wanted that and I got that.
Sure.
And then we reward each. And that's where addiction is born. Actually,
yeah,
we should. If I didn't bring it up, I'd be surprised if I didn't. Did I bring it up on our addiction podcast?
I don't think we talked about dopamine. No, we did not.
Really?
Not
even for a second?
I don't think so, buddy.
That shocks me.
I don't think.
So dopamine is that aspect of it, like in terms of just brain chemistry. But then serotonin is have you heard of serotonin?
I don't know what it means, but yes.
Yeah. So serotonin is the less
sounds like
often
a Italian
term.
Meat. Sounds
yeah,
like a
well,
sounds
well,
like
it
belongs
it
next
and
to
it,
the you know, to the I don't know where I'm trying
yeah,
to get with that.
Well, it's in the deli for sure. I undoubtedly there is some serotonin you can buy from the deli, and I suggest
Capicola,
we all buy it.
Serotonin.
Yeah, right, Capicola. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Prosciutto.
Right. Oh man, but prosciutto, like serotonin cannot touch prosciutto.
Oh, have you ever have you ever done prosciutto and melon with some cheese and you get some like mozzarella, prosciutto, and a melon, like a cantaloupe. You wrap it up, some balsamic glaze just drizzled across. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, like, prosciutto pretty much could go on my Cheerios and taste delicious. Like, the Cheerios would actually, like, make my prosciutto taste
less
delicious.
Listen to us, two Irishmen talking about our love of prosciutto.
Oh, prosciutto, dude! It's the better. It's the hidden gem beneath bacon.
It really is.
You know, I mean, like I've made like strata with prosciutto.
Nice.
You know, strata.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. But like I prosciutto pretty much throw it on my eggs, throw it on my breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, sure, in a salad.
I will be happy. Oh, salad.
That would be great.
Just a little salt and just a nice chew.
I'm getting hungry.
I love prosciutto. I love prosciutto.
Anyways, I got you off track on serotonin. I'm sorry.
No, you got me right on track because my serotonin was delighted.
Nice.
Dopamine. Actually, it was more like dopamine.
Yeah, you're dope.
Was delighted. Dopamine makes me want to eat it again because I enjoyed it once, so I want to eat it again. That's what dopamine is. If you have like one word for dopamine, it's kind of like again.
Gotcha.
Right.
It's the little crackhead whore in like all of us. It's the little like slutty like I want more. I want to feel good. I want
it.
Yeah.
If I got it once, like if I get a laugh out of you.
Yeah.
Right. This is me. Like if I get a laugh out of you, I milk that cow for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Right. I've done it on the podcast. I think I just did it now. So that is dopamine, but serotonin is also similarly. It's similar, but it's related, but different. It's actually about acknowledgement, about feeling accomplishment. It's kind of more like being acknowledged for your successes.
Okay.
So the combination of those two things is really what creates our happiness. And there's a few more brain chemical, like two more, I think.
That you can throw in.
Like feeling safe is like one, and like something else. What matters the most, though, in this conversation is serotonin and dopamine. And those two unite to create a reward center for us that we just keep on fueling.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be acknowledged. And then when we're acknowledged, we feel success. And we want that feeling again. So we keep on doing that.
So that is... That I understand all that, and I get how that would make you feel, you know, good and bad and number of different feelings. But in terms of materialism, you're saying that it's the dopamine that kind of gets us coming back for more and more. And then it's the serotonin that maybe kind of gets us to like justify it all, if you will.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, we don't need to get too scientific,
for once,
but...
Right, no, yeah, and for once, I'll recant. Like, I, as much as I think, like, Stan should fall back from the, like, oh, we're not scientists or that. I mean, come on, guys. Like, clearly you know that when we're like, hoo-da-hoo. Like, doesn't matter.
I don't say that as a disclaimer or something. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
I'm a humble man. I don't want anybody to think I'm on my high and mighty horse when I'm trying to talk about stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you and I work well together, because I'm not even thinking. I'm not thinking. That is, so I'm just talking, like, right?
Yeah,
like,
no. You're good,
buddy.
You
have a better pulse. I don't know how serotonin and dopamine necessarily interact with each other, but I'm just saying
you're getting to the heart of something important, though. What you're saying
is
that there's a chemical reason possibly for a lot of this. And maybe
for all things,
probably for majority. And we all have different,
not even probably. Well,
there's some just straight up also just, you know, I mean, it can't all be related to chemical balance. Like, there's some people that are just straight up just selfish pricks and, like, just have terrible human beings.
And I mean, yeah.
That's like, not necessarily driven by dopamine. That's driven by you're just a jerk and, like, you
Well,
wanna...
but their dopamine is driven by being, like, completely, unempathetic.
I get that. I'm just saying I don't think, like, necessarily. It's not like, you know, like in a refrigerator when you, like, turn the temperature up or down and it's like a scale 1 through 10. I don't think like, oh, this crazy asshole guy who is the most selfish, materialist person in the world, he's chemically at a 10. And this guy who's a monk is at chemically at a 1. I don't think you could prove that that's necessarily a fact in all those people. Some people, A, might be at a 10 and know how to actually defeat their that part of them. Some people might be at a 1 and, you know, want to behave a certain way because of perception, because of peer pressure, because of, you know, social influence. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I do get what you're saying overall that it
and Stan.
Yeah.
Everything you just described is actually all aligned with the physical, psychological, spiritual, mental, like, fact of relativity then.
Okay.
Because at that point, yeah, you're right. Individual at the one, like, let's go back early on. We seem to do this. Like, is it happenstance or just, like, fortunate or skill set, friends? I don't know. But I am saying that, like, going back to the Himalayas with that monk in that cardboard box, that sounded like a bad deal or very, very humble, very humble living. Right? Up until we considered the other monks that were living without even a cardboard box.
Right.
So their relative scale is different, and social standards and their experience of social standards help to set that relative scale so they know where they are in comparison to their peers.
And that's the problem. Because now we've all gotten compared and contrasted ourselves to, as I'll use the old adage, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, when you're comparing yourself to the guy or gal who has, you know, our family that has a 6,000 square foot home and, you know, a car inventory of $400,000, and it gets out of hand. And I think, listen, everybody should do a lot of things that make them very happy. I think that's great, and materials are part of that. But having things are great. I love having great clothes, and I mean, I love having, you know, some. I like having a nice guitar. I like having nice things. I like eating good food, and I love drinking good wine. So I'm not like trying to act like I'm some little poor boy who, you know, has figured out material.
It's about why though, Stan. Why do you like having it?
Because I like to have little bits and pieces of things that probably cater to, like you said, the chemical balance of me that makes me feel good, makes me feel happy, makes me feel like I have a, you know,
do you
tell this.
People? Do you get
I
them
don't
to
go around and
we do.
I don't flaunt anything. About yeah. It. I'm not a big flaunter. But I do enjoy those things. But I also just thought it was great
For the tune.
Yeah.
Though,
right.
For the sound of your guitar. For the taste of that wine, enjoying it for that is one
thing. Well, can't you rate all materials to that, though? Oh, for the way it feels on my body, the clothes, the way the shoe,
you can
the quality
explain
of the
away it, yeah. But how many people are you showing it off to? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you're driving a $300,000 Porsche around town, that's no longer just for you because you're driving it around town, not around a track.
Yeah, which, by the way, let's talk about the car. A Rolls Royce, right? Beautiful car, right? Probably, I don't know how much, $500,000 maybe? Super ton of money. That is the worst car that I think anybody ever buy. You look like you are the butler to someone else. You know what I mean?
Batman,
you look like, you know how Scrooge
are
McDuck?
You Alfred?
You know how Scrooge McDuck went around in a Rolls Royce, I think?
He really?
Or Alfred. You look like you're Alfred and you're driving your own amazing car. You're a millionaire, obviously. You're driving your own Rolls Royce. And everybody's looking at you like, oh, who's in the back? I wonder who's riding back there. Well, who's the, look at this guy driving. Oh my God. Don't you agree? You look like a butler.
Yeah. Well, that is a weird, like, at that point, if you're investing like $500,000 in a car, I probably would invest in a chauffeur.
Right.
Before.
Of course.
I would invest in a chauffeur
but
to drive a Park
ever
Avenue.
Does. I swear to God, I see
I
these
would,
cars out
bro,
now.
Bro, like, drive
too.
Me around. I want a real time Uber available. Like, occasion, I'll pay you handsomely to, like, hey, do our wash. Like,
don't put
my wife through the horrible
dirty whites,
experience.
Do my dirty whites and drive my Rolls Royce and shut up.
Like, my wife can do the darks, but like, she doesn't need to see the whites. Like, no one does.
God, does anybody wear white underwear anymore? What would the hell was that? That was the just.
What would that even look like in modern society?
I don't know how that got along for so many years.
A scatterplot diagram.
You know, it was a bleach thing. It was probably a sanitation thing. Like, just make them white, and we'll just dump a gallon of bleach in there and clean all these boys' boxers.
Right. But then it was like, no, you know what? We're better off psychologically just hiding it. Just hiding it in the darkness. Everyone wear black from now on.
Oh my God.
Like, it might smell a little funky in a couple years, but you won't feel yourself being disgraced in the meanwhile.
Well, you know, it's crazy, Stitch. It's like some of this materialism is like I said, is what feeds our families. I know it feeds your family. It feeds my family. It makes the world go round. It's an amazing feeling to wake up on Christmas morning and Santa Claus brought you gifts, or to wake up on your birthday.
Yeah.
People have it's one of life's treasures, man. I mean, it's amazing. I'm not trying to say like anything crazy here. I'm trying to get to the heart of when, and you nailed it. And this was, I think, to me, one of the themes of what take away. When it is the root of your happiness, then I think you have a bit of a problem on your hand. And I might have been there before in my life in certain ways.
Oh, I think we all have.
Yeah.
I think we all have. All of those that are successful, some of us are still there. But anyone that, where there's a will, there's always a way.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're successful, you've either gone one of two directions or you're still going those directions. And it's you've either let go of making that your happiness. Because want to know what? The millionaire, the person that wants to become the millionaire, once they're a millionaire, what's left?
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They're going to look to become the 500 millionaire the billionaire.
Which is okay. That's all good. Like, that's the American dream, man. Yeah, I think that's fine. Like, I would want to do that.
It's okay.
You know, I would want to. But I think this is why we're here, Stitch, to talk about how to keep that all balanced. I mean, like, you can be a millionaire and not be materialistic. You can still be super cool. You can, you know, whatever, save your money for a great time. Spend money on some things, you know, enjoy your life. But also, and you don't even have to give it away. I'm not even saying, like, throw it at charity. You know, nobody owes anything to a certain charity. You know, save it and give it to your kids, whatever. Just don't. I don't know. Just
time is money.
Yeah.
Spend it wisely.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's it, man. So, well,
time
hey, man.
Is money,
this
spend
is
wisely.
This is, you know, been a blast, buddy, talking with you tonight. I think it was a good topic, and I'm excited to hear what we go after next week. Got a little Independence Day coming up, a little 4th of July. You going to do some fireworks out there, buddy?
You know what? I mean, and Stan, I mean, like, my only final fireworks are, and we have 2 minutes. We have two minutes. Like, my fireworks are here. Like, it's not about, like, celebrating your success. That's not the problem.
Okay.
Just create the right ratio.
Yes.
The right balance of giving and receiving.
Yeah.
If you do that, then you're gonna feel good and you're gonna leave a good impact on the world. And the more we put our happiness into giving versus our elevation in receiving, the better we're gonna feel in the process. Because at the end of the day, the answer to, like, what's up with materialism is simply this. At the end of the time, at the end of our time, when we die, nobody likes an asshole.
Right. And I don't think they're going to ask you how much you saved when you get up there. But
they'll
think you're right.
You
know what?
How much
you know what, Stitch?
Gave on this world.
And it can be time, too. It doesn't even have to be all money, like you said.
Time.
You know, you don't have to necessarily give away just your money and then you don't participate in anything productive from a time. Maybe you don't give that much money, but you always, you know, go to your church or you go to a soup kitchen or you spend time developing young people to be successful. Whatever it is, man, that's important.
Priceless.
You know?
Priceless.
Yeah.
So that's
it, I think, right? I think we uncovered, as we always do, Stitch, at the buzzer, man, at the buzzer. Give your time, give your money, or if you can't give either one, find that ratio. Find that ratio and do a little something. I'm not there yet. I got to figure that ratio out, and I got to do more. So I'm working on mine. I'll report back to all of you. And let's do this thing together, I think, man. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. If nothing else, give ourselves the time to explore this question. Yeah. Because if you ask it enough, you're going to find the answer, and others will help you find it. So give yourself that. The world deserves it, and so do you.
I love it, Stitch. Well said, my man. Well said. You're a hell of a guy, buddy. I love talking to you. It's been a great podcast tonight. Loopholes on Life, loopholesonlife.com. Thank you for being with us tonight.